My grandfather gave up his post in San Francisco and came back with his family to serve God in Hong Kong. My mother was one of the first two women ordained deacons in the year 1930. A detailed biography of her life can be found in a book, Pioneers of Christian Education by Miss Lila Watson. I have already had the permission of the chairman. I think I noticed Miss Lila Watson is here. And would you please stand up so that they know that you are the authoress of the biography of my mother's life. Thank you. My parents' devotion and love to God and faithfulness in serving and tithing gave me an unforgettable example what a Christian should be and should do. I can still remember every Sunday morning, Mother and our faithful domestic helper, who was also a Christian, used to have us neatly dressed for Sunday school, from which we were seldom absent except when we got sick. We listened attentively to the Bible stories told by our kind teachers and enjoyed singing the beautiful hymns so much that we often wished that others could have a chance to hear them too. Once, my brother and myself were asked to sing in a Christmas celebration, and we excitedly, though no less joyously, looked forward to the occasion. On that evening, while my brother had his hair cut and looked ever so smart and cute in his shirt and shorts, and I had my pigtails neatly plaited and put on my colorful Chinese dress, we went out to the platform hand in hand and started to sing. However, we got so excited and we stopped several times before the hymn finally ended. Then we felt extremely happy and relieved because we knew that we have passed the message of the birth of Christ to the congregation. From my experience, therefore, I have come to realize how important it is to bring our children to Sunday school while they are still young. For what they learn from the Bible and the hymns will always be imprinted in their minds. God answered my prayers when I came to choosing a life partner. In June 1935, I was married into a Christian family. And my husband, Lam Tik Soon, I think some of you have met him, is a building contractor. He has henceforth been such an inspiration to my work that, with his encouragement and help, I've gone through many a disappointment and difficulty. Praise be to God, for he knows I'm weak, and he has given to me an understanding helper in my husband. God had also blessed me with three children. Our eldest son, who is now 27, was a graduate from OBU and is now working. And the two youngest ones are studying in high school. If it is the will of God, I hope that they will one day come and study in this part of the world. Moreover, God has given me a sweet and helpful sister-in-law, Mrs. Edna Wong. I think some of you have heard of or met her before. Her love and her prayers have given me comfort in sorrows and strength in trials. And there are friends too who care for me and support me and my work with prayers and encouraging letters. For all these, I give thanks to my Heavenly Father and appreciation to each and every one of them. Since 1952, God has given me the opportunity to serve him in a Christian educational field. Henrietta School. It is a co-educational school in memory of a loving, gallant, and devoted Christian, Mrs. Henrietta Hall Shook, wife of Reverend Louis Shook. In the span of nearly 12 years of service in the school, I've learned many invaluable lessons of how to work with others, and most important of all, that nothing is impossible in the hands of our Almighty Father. For the construction of a present school, we have to pay the contractor by installments. When the seventh installment was almost due, I discovered that the amount left in our account was only one-tenth of what we have to pay. I tried in vain every possible means to obtain money. And as the day drew closer and closer, I became so worried that night after night, I cried myself to sleep. One night, while I was thus worrying and crying, I seemed to hear a still, small voice rebuking my foolishness for not committing my burden to God. Though it was cold in the middle of the night, I got up and knelt beside my bed and prayed earnestly to my comforter and helper for forgiveness and guidance. After my prayer, peace was restored in my heart, and serenely I fell asleep. A few days later, I was informed by Reverend James Malode of the Hong Kong Kowloon Baptist Union Mission that the donations had been sent to our school. The timely donations were sent from the First Baptist Church, Richmond, Virginia, and a Mrs. Stanley of Virginia in memory of her mother, Mrs. Bassett. And the pleasant surprise could not but fill my heart with unsurpassable joy and deep gratitude to my Heavenly Father for answering my prayers. Indeed, God knows everything. He knows our needs. And all we have to do is to go to Him with our troubles and difficulties. And He will surely help us according to His ways and time. Whenever I sit quietly and think of a school building, I always recall the incident which reassures me of God's promise in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Time and again, He has shown me His faithfulness and almighty power, not only in worldly pecuniary matters, but even in the crisis of life and death. During the Japanese occupation in Hong Kong, air raids were not uncommon. One day, during one of these bombings, my husband, being a devoted photographer, immediately took up his new Leica camera and took a snap. Afterwards, he had completely forgotten about the incident and generously lent the camera to a friend. The latter finished the film wherein the negative of the bombing and took it to the studio to be developed. It so happened that none of the pictures taken by my friends came out except my husband's bombing masterpiece. Consequently, he was immediately sent for by the police. Indeed, I knew what that meant. He could be accused by either side for being a traitor, and all who were grazed by such an invitation to go in seldom have a chance to come out again. What could I, a woman, do at home except to commit him into the hand of our Lord? After many agonizing hours of suspense, the door opened, and I could hardly believe my eyes when I saw my husband safely back again. Great indeed was my joy and surprise. When I calmed down, he told me that after he had been questioned by several officers, he was finally passed into the hands of the head of the police station. To his great astonishment, the superintendent only gave him a brief warning, then cut off the negative for the bombing scene and gave him back his camera. The shepherd really cares for each and every one of his sheep. Disobedient and faithless though they sometimes be, and his precious promise in Psalm 34, 6 and 7. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. It is only too true, as I cling on to it during my voyage through the billowy sea of life. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6 has inspired the members of the Hong Kong Baptist Church to promote religious education. Before 1924, there wasn't any Baptist school in Hong Kong. And while I was a young girl, I often heard my mother discuss with father and members of our church about organizing a Baptist school in order to give Christian education to the youngsters in the non-Christian families, as well as those of our members. One morning in 1924, a very solemn and happy ceremony was held in honor of the official opening of the Baptist Primary School, established in the social hall of the church. My mother was appointed honorary principal. She was radiantly happy because the dream which was so dear to her and the church members had at last came true. The area of the school was only 40 feet by 40 feet. The classrooms were divided by movable partitions. You can imagine how noisy and attractive it was. However, my mother never gave up the idea of having a real building for the school. In 1936, at the Kwong Tong and Kwong Si Baptist Convention in Canton, commemorating the centenary of Baptist work in China, a resolution was passed entrusting the Hong Kong Baptist Church with the responsibility of establishing a school in memory of Mrs. Henrietta Hor Shoh, who was laid to rest in Hong Kong. It was not until the Hong Kong Baptist Church was preparing to celebrate its 30th anniversary, the members started to collect data regarding the past history of the church, that after a long and tedious search, the grave of Mrs. Henrietta Hor Shoh was eventually found in the Colonial Cemetery in Happy Valley, Hong Kong. A white marble gravestone, much obscured by the accumulating moss, lies quietly by the granite path, unnoticed by any but an interested and observant eye. Time and weather had so worn it out that the epitaph could merely be perceived after careful cleaning and repainting. From then on, the WMU members of the Hong Kong Baptist Church started to visit the grave and hold annual memorial services there. Since I took over the principalship of Henrietta School, the duty of visiting and taking care of the grave was handed over to the school. The memorial service has continued to be held at a cemetery every year in October, as well as a Thanksgiving service in school attended by the students and their parents. In order to fulfill the purpose of our church in establishing the school, we strongly emphasize Christian education. Not only do we have faithful and loyal Christians on our staff to help each child who comes to study, every semester we have evangelistic meetings for 3 days in succession. After that, we have Bible classes to help those who are willing to accept Christ as their Savior to know more about God. There are also Christian group meetings and choir practice. It is my joy to report that God has been working wonders in the hearts of the pupils. Although most of them come from non-Christian families and have never heard of the gospel before, 123 staff members and pupils were baptized since 1952. A regular Sunday service at 11 a.m. for staff and students and those who live nearby was inaugurated in 1959. Though we are not able to have a pastor to take up the responsibility of this work, which is now organized by a committee, I'm sure that we can cling to his promise in Philippians 1:6, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God has not only granted us spiritual blessings, but also our material needs. Through his grace, Lady Grantham, wife of the past Hong Kong governor, came to visit Henrietta School, which was then only an old four-story building. She then promised to give her full support for the new school project. Through your prayers, the Lottomoon offering, and other contributions, we now have a complete new school building with 21 classrooms, an auditorium with over 400 seats, laboratories for chemistry, physics, biology, as well as a handicraft room and a home economic room. Moreover, through the help of our Lord and the love gifts of friends who are interested in our school, we are able to give scholarships to more than 200 students every year. During my 11 years in the field of Christian education, I've come to realize that youth between the ages of 14 to 18 need special attention, since they are continually searching for something or someone to satisfy the secret yearning in the hearts and souls. And in their anxiety, they may easily fall into Satan's snare. Youth in Hong Kong succeeded in climbing to the second place and the world record of movie goers. This is not surprising if we realize the limited space of the homes, some of each are sometimes shared by several families, and a small number of recreation grounds where children may play. Where indeed do we expect them to give vent to their energies? How essential it is for the church and the Christian schools to give them the necessary guidance and companionship. Moreover, in spite of the efforts of the Hong Kong government, these youngsters are not any better off in trying to get the necessary education. The total number of places in a primary education amounts to 540,000. And yet, there are only 130,000 places in secondary school. Thus, the opportunity of primary school child to enter secondary school is 1 in 4. And from the secondary to the post-secondary, 1 in 7. Since the school is a second home to the pupils, we can see how important it is for the few schools to give the best in molding the character of those who are fortunate enough to gain entrance. In conclusion, I would like to share you a story. In a school, religion was strictly forbidden, and no one was allowed to mention even the name of God. At the beginning of the school year, a new Christian teacher came, who was immediately warned against any effort in spreading the gospel. However, after some time, many of the pupils in his class began to buy and read the Bible. When they were asked to account for the strange behavior, it was discovered that they admired the behavior of the new teacher very much because they realized that he had something different. In setting out to solve the mystery, they found out that he read the Bible every day. Drawn by curiosity, these pupils started to read the Bible too. Indeed, action speaks louder than words. Since dedicated teachers are such valuable living witnesses and silent influences to the pupils, for more than 5 years, Henrietta School has continually sent in and will continue to send in urgent requests to the Foreign Mission Board through our Hong Kong Baptist Mission for dedicated teachers to teach English or to take up the post as a student counselor. Time and again, we had hopefully looked forward to the arrival of newly appointed missionaries to Hong Kong, but each time we were disappointed when they were assigned work in other institutions. I now want to make an earnest an urgent appeal to you to join us in praying for dedicated teachers and in encouraging young people to dedicate their lives for winning soul to Christ through Henrietta School. Don't you want a share in this challenging work?
For we are laborers together with God. In September of 1835, Henrietta Hall Shook, a beautiful dark-haired bride of 18, stood on the deck of a ship in Boston Harbor. She was carefully detailing and etching into her memory the last glimpse of America she would ever be privileged to see. It was unspeakably sad to leave home. Yet ahead of the J. Louis Shooks lay China, and the lure of Christ's magnetic call beckoned them on with the matchless opportunity to pioneer for him in the Orient. A year lapsed between their sailing date from Boston and the arrival of the Shooks in China. Countless times during the tedious months ahead would her father's voice sound in Henrietta's heart, echoing the words he had written to her when she was ready to set sail. "My dear Henrietta," he wrote, "I part with you with all of the feelings of nature and shall, when let down to the feeling point, for I am now above it, weep on account of our separation. But I assure you that I do not regret that you are going. Assure me that all is right in your motive and that God requires it, and I rejoice in the prospect of your living and dying on heathen ground. We part in a short time to meet no more on earth, but we shall meet again shortly in heaven. Till then, farewell. Your father, Reverend Addison Hall. Soon after their arrival in Macau, the Shooks took into the family a little Chinese boy whom they fed and clothed. Immediately, Henrietta began teaching him the English alphabet along with stories of Jesus. Soon she had added other children to her school. She taught them for 2 hours each morning, and she studied Chinese each afternoon. By the year 1839, we find Henrietta in the midst of toil and anxiety which so characterize a missionary's life. She had been plagued by a series of illnesses, yet, as she wrote to her father, she could not give up her school, for she felt that it allowed her the genuine opportunity to witness for Christ to her students. At this time, she was teaching 15 boys and girls in her home. She quickly had discovered that to get girls in the school, she would have to refuse to take a boy unless he brought a girl with him. Not long after the Shooks were permitted to move to Hong Kong, Mrs. Shook's dream of a school building for her pupils was finally realized. The school she founded, which was ultimately to bear her name, was the first Christian school for girls in China. As she gave her life strength in serving the master so far away from home, this young woman had little time to consider the mission history that she and her preacher husband were creating. These first seeds they were sowing in the Orient were to bring marvelous fruits in the next century, and the names Henrietta and J. Louis Shook would become treasured memories, inspiring others in the march of missions throughout all the years to come. Time and circumstances, performing a mystery understood but to the heart of God, would force Southern Baptists out of the China mainland with the communist occupation, but would push them on into fertile fields surrounding it. In 1963, Southern Baptists had missionaries under appointment to 15 countries in the Orient. Japan, entered in 1889, has 135 missionaries. Macau, entered in 1910, has 2. In the Philippine Islands, entered in 1948, 68 are serving. In Taiwan, entered in 1948, we now have 50. In Thailand, entered in 1949, there are 52 missionaries. Hong Kong, entered in 1949, has 46. Singapore, entered in 1950, 18 missionaries. And in Korea, entered in 1950, we have 40. In Malaya, entered in 1951, 16 missionaries are serving. In Indonesia, also entered in 1951, there are 69. East Pakistan, entered in 1957, has 21 Southern Baptist missionaries. Vietnam, entered in 1959, has 14. And Okinawa, entered in 1962. Guam, entered in 1961, also has 2 missionaries serving. Finally, in 1962, Southern Baptist sent 2 missionaries out to India to witness in the land of Kerry. For we are laborers together with God. Yesterday, the Shooks bravely set their hearts toward the task of taking God's word to China. Today, 537 Southern Baptist missionaries have followed in their train as they serve throughout the Orient. But what of tomorrow? Who shall speak for Jesus in the lands of the Far East who have not heard his name?
I am Alice Gardner Wilson. I have surrendered my life to my God to serve tomorrow in Thailand. With the words, "You really are going now," Dr. Baker James Cawthon addressed 21 new missionary appointees April the 9th. And my husband and I realized as never before that we were indeed really going. Going to a land which is perhaps the strongest Buddhist country in the world. Going to a land where there is only one Christian in 1,000 individuals. Going to a land where there are only 500 evangelical missionaries. To a land where our appointment brings Southern Baptist missionary numbers to only 52. Really going. And as we go, may I share with you a little of the part which Women's Missionary Union has played in my decision to serve tomorrow in Thailand. Brought up in a minister's family, I early learned about the love of God, and I also early attended the missionary organizations of our church. I am told that as a beginner sunbeam, I wanted to be a missionary to the Jews like Miss Tyler down the street, because she knits on Sundays. This somewhat misplaced zeal was not long-lasting, but surely the seeds of world awareness which were planted in my own home were nurtured in this early sunbeam band. After my mother's death, the missionary society of our church became for several years, in a very true sense, my adopted mother, and on numerous occasions members would care for me. I can remember a 10th or 11th birthday party which the missionary society gave for me. Its members turned out en masse, and you can imagine 40 or more adult ladies at a birthday party. But this Women's Missionary Union of our church did a great deal more than provide parties for me. It provided for our entire junior department an excellent GA leader who encouraged us to study, to work, and to learn. It was this leader who urged me to attend the GA camps and to work on my forward steps. It was this same leader who later encouraged me to go to YWA Week at Ridgecrest. And it was here that I came face to face with my God as he showed me my responsibility as a Christian. In a final dedication service, I promised myself and my God that I would indeed seek his guidance for my life. After college graduation and a year's work in the Louisville YWCA, I followed God's leadership to the Carver School of Missions and Social Work. Here again, Women's Missionary Union played a part in my life, this time in providing a Virginia WMU scholarship to attend the school. Nor can we overlook the fact that Carver School itself is a product of Women's Missionary Union. When I entered school that fall, I entered with the sure feeling that God certainly did not want me to major in missions, that God certainly did not want me to marry a minister, that God certainly did not want me to be a foreign missionary. I had no idea why I was at that school, and yet I felt that I must not have mistaken God's guidance there. I was there for a purpose. What the purpose was, I did not know, but although not content, I was willing to pray and to wait. The waiting was not long, for that February, at an invitation following a missionary address at the seminary, God spoke clearly, and I listened. I am not sure who gave the address that day. I am sure of the question which I heard: can you stay here when there is so much need there? My answer was no. Without hesitation, I stepped forward to make public my decision to answer God's call as a foreign missionary. And so, indeed, my husband, our two daughters, and I are really going. And as we go, I shall carry always within my heart an appreciation for Women's Missionary Union in helping to point the way to God's "Go ye into all the world."
With holy fire my heart inspire, thy spirit so to wield. With borrowed might I'll take thy light, till darkness doom be sealed. If others stop to count the cost, for fear of earthly treasures lost, count it gain to die.